This morning we're going to speak about Joseph. We're actually going to speak a wee bit more on the practical things of what happened and things that took place in his life. And also it takes place in the life of the believer. Some will go more into the spiritual side of it, but we'll bring a few wee things out too this morning and trust God that he'll bless his word to our hearts. I'm going to read from verse 1 of chapter 37 to verse 12. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years of age, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bala and the sons of Silpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father, and his father and his brethren and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Who was Joseph? There are many men who go deep into the theology side of things. But this morning, I just want to bring it out, basically what really goes on in the life and families of any normal person. In Genesis 37, it tells us he was the 11th son of Jacob. Jacob, whose name can mean supplanter, one who wrongfully or illegally seizes and holds the place of another. This could be said of Jacob, who deceived his father Isaac into passing on the blessing that was meant for the firstborn son, and then conned his brother Esau into selling his birthright for a bowl of stew. And like all fathers and mothers, mistakes can be made and do be made in families. We are all guilty of making wrong decisions and wrong choices concerning children. And Jacob made a wrong decision and a wrong choice to favor one over the other. Now listen to what it says in verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. If Jacob and his family were to live next door to us, we would think of them as a dysfunctional family. Not because of their numbers, 12 boys and one girl, but because of the friction between parents and children. Rachel and Leah wanting to share the one man. Jacob through favoritism dividing his family, where Joseph in one hand being his father's blue eye, and in the other hand despised by his brothers. But yet God had a plan for this family that throughout history would reveal his plan of salvation to the world. Nothing is mentioned of Joseph's early years. We first hear of him at 17 years old, attending his father's flock alongside his brothers. This must have been very difficult, working with brothers who hated him, and also for the brothers who did not trust Joseph because he was always quick to go and tell his father Jacob what his older brothers were up to. This would cause them to hate him all the more. It may be fair to say that Joseph suffered at the hands of his brothers because he was their father's favorite, but he suffered also because he informed in his brothers that they were up to no good. This can happen in a family when one brother or one sister go running to the mom or the dad and tell them such and such did this or such and such did that. But the fires of hatred and resentment were about to get even hotter when Joseph would come and tell them about his dream. Some have said that it would have been better if Joseph had have kept the dream to himself, but it was the revealing of the dream that brought about its fulfillment. Verse 5, reading from the New Living Translation, says this: "One night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him all the more." And you can understand why they took a dislike to Joseph, because Joseph was more or less putting himself on a pinnacle or making himself out to be more superior than they. But God had a plan for Joseph's life, and God had a plan for their lives. They did not hate him for having a dream, because everybody dreams. But this dream was a supernatural dream. It was a God-given dream for the salvation of Jacob and his family. But his brothers could not see that only Joseph was thinking of himself as some sort of king, and so they hated him all the more. It is in Joseph's character that we can see the characteristics of Christ, who had come to share his vision only to be rejected by his brothers. Like Joseph, who was hated, so Christ was also hated by his brethren. For listen to what John chapter 1 and verse 11 had to say when Jesus came to Israel. "He came on to his own, and his own received him not. The call of God is not without price, but for there to be any results, the price must be paid." Do you hear that? The work of God is not without price, but a price must be paid. Our reconciliation was not without price, but a price had to be paid. Our forgiveness was not without price, but a price had to be paid. The call of God, as I have said, is not without price. There has been those who wanted the call without the cross, but they both come together. Do you hear that, brothers and sisters? You hear that? They come together. To serve God, there's always going to be trials. There's always going to be temptations. There's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be something put in your way. And let me say this. This is for your making. This is where God takes you, melts you, molds you, and breaks off those branches that need to be pruned. Do you hear that? God makes you, and he makes you through trials, and he makes you through temptations and the trials of life. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16 and verse 24. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Joseph's dream just doesn't show us a picture of himself being exalted above his brothers. As a type of Christ, the dream also gives us a picture of the end time when all of humanity will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Note every knee shall bow. Those that hated him, mocked him, rejected him, whether they want to or not, will bow before him. Unlike Jesus, whose exaltation is everlasting, Joseph's was only temporary. Joseph, in his dream, saw himself being exalted. But what he did not see was the rejection, the trials, the temptations, the persecution, and the humiliation that came with it. Brothers and sisters, if God puts something into your hand, you can rest assured that the enemy will come against you. The enemy will come against you, but I've got God's blessing. Yes, and that's why he will come. He will come to destroy that person, that character, that nature, everything about you that God is making. The enemy will come to destroy it. Just as he did with the innocence of Joseph, he came to destroy it. But God had his hand on Joseph. Unlike most of us, if not all, Joseph was reared in a wealthy home, but it did not stop him from becoming a slave in Egypt. And just because our children are brought up in a Christian home, it does not mean that they will not become slaves to the world or are slaves to sin. Joseph worked hard and was promoted to be the manager in Potiphar's house, the captain of the guard, but this promotion would bring with it much temptation. For Potiphar's wife would lust after Joseph, tempting him each and every day that he would come and lie with her. Brothers and sisters, there's always temptation. There's always temptation, and the enemy always looks at your armor and he sees where the weakness is, even if you don't. He knows how to examine you. He scrutinizes you. He looks at you. He watches you. And this is why we need to spend time with God and alone with God, that the gaps and cracks in our armor that he will seal by his Spirit and by his word. But Joseph resisted her advances and kept himself pure. But this did not stop the persistence of this woman, who was determined to have her way with him. But equally, Joseph was determined to be faithful to God and loyal to his master. His testimony was a light in a house of darkness, and Potiphar took note of it. Listen to what Genesis has to say concerning this. 39 and verse 3. And here's what it says. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. This is what God does with the man or the woman that he has called, that he has chosen, and that he has placed the blessing in their hand. He causes it to prosper. Whatever the work is, there can be blessing in it, but there will be trials. There will be trials. There will be trials within, and there will be trials without. When a man lives his life or a woman honorably before God, the world will notice the difference, because they will take note that the Lord is with them. So also will the devil, for he hates those that honor God by their lifestyle, and he will use any means he can to destroy it. And this is what Potiphar's wife tried to do with Joseph by entrapment. Day after day, this powerful woman would tempt Joseph to have sexual relationship with her, and he kept refusing, not because he had no desire, but because he feared God and would not willingly sin against the Lord, nor his master, nor his wife. And because her words of flattery had failed to persuade Joseph to lie with her, she took things into her own hands. This is what happens. The enemy, when he fails in one point, will turn around and take things into his own hands in another. Remember concerning Judas. He put it into his heart, and then he entered into him. When the enemy wants to destroy you, If you, brother and sister, don't resist, he will destroy. He will destroy the most precious thing that you have, and that is your testimony for Christ. That is your testimony for Christ. By planning to entrap Joseph, by dismissing all the servants so she could get Joseph alone, possibly by sending them to other parts of the house, Potiphar had trusted Joseph with his bank account, his finances, his servants, and everything that he had, and he trusted him even with his very wife. But because Joseph was a young, handsome man, she burned with lust day after day and would not take no for an answer. This is what can happen, not just with a persistent woman, but also with a persistent man. When lust has taken control of you, it will end up bringing forth sin. And this is what it did, not in the way that this woman wanted it to, but it brought forth sin when she made a false accusation against this young man. Excuse me. So Joseph's temptation was now about to become an accusation. So just before we look at the outcome of this accusation, let us go back to verse 2. And here's what it says in the New Living Translation. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bala and Zilpha. But Joseph reported to his fathers some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Now we all know that in any family, when one goes and informs on the other, that this can cause infighting within the family. Brothers falling out with brothers, sisters falling out with sisters, and then before you know it, the family becomes divided. And we all know that Joseph has the characteristics of Christ, and what we must also remember, that he also had his own character with a fallen nature. Something that we all have, and at times it can and does get us into trouble because we act before we think. We act before we think at times, brothers and sisters. And we all have been guilty of this at times. I feel that the actions of Joseph brought on himself the hatred of his brothers. It is this sort of thing that can and does happen even among brothers and sisters of Christ. Like Joseph, we are meant to have the characteristics of Christ that show the nature of Christ in us. Also, let us keep in mind that we have two natures, and the one that we feed the most will express itself the most, whether it be Christ-like or whether it be us. Our actions in life will speak for themselves, and yet, like Joseph, God has a plan for our life. God has a plan for our life. Most, if not all, of the frictions that happened in his family came about by the sin of favoritism. And there are those in the Bible that we have to take our example from and learn from them, because we are told, for instance, Isaac favored Esau. Rebekah favored Jacob. Jacob favored Rachel over Leah, and so on. But it is from all these incidents that we are to learn from. Because of the pain and hurt that they cause and the evil that they can bring forth, and did so in the life of Joseph, that his brothers thought to kill him. But then there was also the dream that one day they would bow the knee to Joseph, that made them resent him all the more. And then he had a second dream. Only this time, it was not just the brothers who would bow before him, but also his father Jacob and his mother Rachel. So he told his father, and his father rebuked him. Listen to Genesis 37:10 and 11. And he told it to his father and his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Jacob rebuked him. Like Murray, he pondered it in his heart. He pondered it in his heart. He kept the saying. In other words, he kept the matter in mind. Joseph was not wrong concerning his brother's behavior. And from his point of view, it had to be addressed. And his brother saw him as a spoiled child, always running to daddy, getting them into trouble. But it seems that the dreams pushed them over the edge, that they plotted against Joseph. Genesis 37 and 13, we can see the concern of a father for his children, that he sends the one that he loves most to see how his brethren are keeping, hoping that all is well. But when they see Joseph afar off, they conspire to kill him. Just as the Pharisees sat down and plotted against the Lord Jesus, so Joseph's brothers plotted against him. Genesis 37 and 19, it tells us that they began to mock him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. This dreamer cometh. This dreamer had a dream. It was a God-given dream. And even his brethren mocked him. And this can happen in the life of a believer. He can have a dream from God. He can be given a task by God. But others will mock. Others will laugh. Others will scorn. But God will fulfill it through the man who is faithful. God will fulfill it through the man of his choosing, of his calling. They referred to Joseph as a master dreamer. And by taking his life, it would leave his dreams unfulfilled. It is a picture of the future. When the Jews said of Christ, We will not have this man to reign over us. But nothing can stop the plan of God. And note that it was Judah, the father of the Jews, who suggested that they sell Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, which at that time was the price of a slave. Again, referring to our Lord Jesus, who was sold by another Jew, Judas Iscariot, whose price was 30 pieces of silver. This selling of Christ was going to lead to the cross, which would bring his earthly ministry to an end. Yet, he would not be without witness, for he would return to the upper room to fill his followers with the Holy Spirit that would enable them to continue the work that he had started. Whereas for Joseph, his journey was only beginning. For the Ishmaelites took him with them to Egypt, and they sold him to Potiphar. So how was the sons of Jacob going to explain this to their father? Just as in the same way they conspired to kill their brother Joseph, they would conspire to deceive their father by a plan of deception, making out that that some wild animal had killed their brother, when in truth they had sold him, hoping never to see him again. So let us not forget a powerful lesson that is in the weapon that is a weapon of deception. It can and it does bring hurt to many families, and it did bring hurt and pain into the life of Jacob for a long time. It was because of their false report that their father Jacob believed that Joseph, his son, was torn in pieces by some wild animal. The scriptures does not say who brought Joseph's coat of many colors to Jacob, only that it was sent. Maybe his sons could not face him because of their guilt that they had for what they had did to Joseph. And now the pain they were about to cause their father, it would appear that his sons did not have the courage to face their father. So they sent it by the hand of one of the servants with a question to which they already knew. Listen to this. This is how deception works. You know when you're lying, brother. You know when you're lying, sister? The disciples knew when they were lying. And here's what they said. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message. Look at what we find. They didn't find it. They stripped him of it. Doesn't this robe belong to your son? Doesn't this belong to your son? They knew exactly what they had done, but they couldn't tell their father. This is why stewards need to be wise. Pastors need to be wise. Elders need to be wise concerning favoritism. Favoritism is a sin. Jacob recognized the coat as that of Joseph. And from that day forward, he mourned the loss of his son. And when the family tried to comfort him, he refused and wept. Surely, at such a sight, his sons must have been troubled with guilt and shame for bringing such sorrow on their father. But for years, they would keep it a secret between themselves, which was cold and cruel. But all that they did in secret would be revealed in the future. Don't we know, brothers and sisters, that everything that is done in darkness will come to light? And it can also be said of all humanity, both Christian and sinner, that God will bring all sinful deeds to light, that each and every one will be judged according to their works. I just don't see Joseph with the characteristics of Christ, but also as a forerunner to prepare the way for Israel's salvation. To prepare the way, something that God would bring about by dreams, only this time it would not be Joseph's dream, but Pharaoh's of Egypt. In Israel, Joseph was the dreamer of dreams, but in Egypt, he would be known as the interpreter of them. But first, let us look at the accusation that was made against this young man, a false accusation that he had tried to rape Potiphar's wife. And although Potiphar knew that the Lord had blessed his house and all that Joseph did, he listened to his wife's story and events of what took place in the house. And he never consulted or asked Joseph for his side of the story. And in Genesis 39 and 21, we read, but the Lord. See, whatever you're going through, brothers and sisters, see, as long as you honor God, listen to what the word says. But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You see, brothers and sisters, there may be those who can turn against you. There may be those who can disappoint you. There can be those who can let you down. But he's faithful. He's faithful. He can turn things around in your favor. Even though you're going through circumstances and situations, in that situation, he can show you favor. He can bless you just as he did with Joseph. When God calls a man, it will not be without its times of testing. And Joseph was learning this the hard way. And like us all, there must have been times he looked back on his dreams and thought to himself, where is God in all this? Where is God in all this? And let us say, we have all thought those things. We have all thought those things. First, he's hated, then rejected by his brothers. Then he's sold to the Ishmaelites, humiliated by Pharaoh's wife, cast into prison on a false charge, all because a woman could not control her lustful desire. So where was God? And if Joseph thought like that, who could blame him? For we have all been there. Yet it is with such a task that we are all to trust God for the outcome, because it is only God that can turn it all around. And if that means allowing us to go through humiliation, hatred, suffering, prison, and even rejected by loved ones, God still expects us to finish the task given to us. You hear that, brothers and sisters? God still expects us to finish the task that he's given to us. Like Joseph, we may not fully understand the things that happened to us, but we do know that we, like Joseph, are in the providence of God. And if we remain faithful to God, he will bring the task to pass. Again, let us look at Genesis 39, 21, and I'm coming to a close. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. What a loving, caring father we serve. First, he makes Joseph a favorite in Potiphar's house. Everything he did for his master, God made it to prosper. Secondly, he cast into prison. And again, God gives him favor with the prison warden, who puts him in charge of the prisoners and over everything that happens in the prison. This took the pressure off the warden and made his job a lot easier. In other words, Joseph was running the prison by being given such a task that Joseph would have seen the hand of God. Never fail to see, brothers and sisters. Never fail to see, church, the hand of God in your life, or you will fail to see the blessing. It is possible that Potiphar left word with the warden to give Joseph a hard time, but the scriptures are clear as to who has everything in control. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever God may allow you to go through or to endure, remember the Lord is with you. Let us take note of Joseph's circumstances. He's in prison, falsely accused of rape. And it's possible that his life could have been under threat by other prisoners. What do you mean, you might ask? While usually when men go into prison for rape, there are usually prisoners who will attack them as though they knew the victim. But instead of Joseph being victimized by the other prisoners, he is shown favor by God that even the prisoners follow his instructions. You see, when God's with a man, he will cause people to follow. He will cause people to follow. When a leader leads, God will give him disciples. While in prison, Joseph must have befriended two men, one a butler, the other a baker, and they were put into custody under the watchful eye of the captain of the guard because they had offended Pharaoh, who was king of Egypt. There, they would remain until Pharaoh decided what he would do with them. And while they were waiting on his decision, both of them had a dream, but neither of them understood its meaning. And so they became troubled, going about the prison sad and depressed. And Joseph noticed that something was not right. So he asked them what was wrong, and they looked so worried. And their reply in Genesis 40 and verse 8 says this: we have dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. At this point, and I'm coming to a close, at this point we can see that they must have shared their dreams with others, and no one could explain to them what their dreams meant. And then Joseph replied to them. And this is what I love. And this is where I see the character of Christ in this man. Do not interpretations belong to God? He didn't say me. Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams, I pray you. Do you know what he was saying? I can't do this, but God can. I can't reveal this to you, but God can. No. First, Joseph gives them knowledge that the interpretation of their dreams can only be revealed by God. And then he tells them their dreams so he can reveal their interpretations as the Spirit reveals it to him. That's only part one. In the future, I'll bring part two, God spurring me, and part three. And hopefully, maybe in it and through it, God will bless you, strengthen you, and encourage you. Thank you for your time, your patience, and thank you for listening. God bless.